Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Third hour on this Monday afternoon. This time on Mondays, we head east. We go to Knoxville. He's at Vince Sports on Twitter. Hit follow. He's a good follow. He's Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. He's on the line with us. Vinny, how you doing? How was your weekend?
I'm good. Sun's out. Sun was out for pretty much all weekend, so thankful for that. Everything else is gravy, so had a good weekend. Hope you guys did too.
Maddox had a Saturday night basketball game, and then a bunch of the family were all at his game, and then we all went out to dinner afterwards, and some of the folks at the table live in Knoxville, and let's just say that they may have heard your halftime report at the dinner table on Saturday night. So we had a good laugh at that.
Yeah.
Not to laugh at your expense, but, I mean, it was right. Wow. That was an experience, huh?
It was. You know, I was stunned that my contact didn't pop out. Sometimes just when, you know, when I'm tired and have heavy eyelids, my contact will slide back and I just have to slide it back. But I took a shot to the head and it stayed right there in place. And it was just more stunning than anything else. And, you know, it was cool to see people come and check on me right away, including a few of the players. And then, you know, the coolest part about the whole deal was how concerned Santiago Vescovi, Tennessee's point guard, was for me after the game. He was a player of the game. He went and talked on the Vol Network and was with those guys and was asking the crew, you know, how's Vince doing? I feel really bad because it was his behind-the-back pass that split two teammates because it split the two of them and went bouncing and hit me there while I was looking down reading my stats. And then after all the post-game interviews, he sought me out and came and gave me a hug and said he felt so bad and kind of explained what happened. So it ended up being cool and kind of showed what his character is all about after, you know, playing a great game against Arkansas Tuesday and still being worried about, you know, some media guy sitting courtside in the head. Then, you know, not a lot of athletes would probably do that, be that concerned. So that was cool to kind of reveal what he's all about. So he handled that great, and it ended up being pretty funny overall.
So they beat up on Arkansas on Tuesday. They had a crazy game against South Carolina in Knoxville earlier in the year where they came away with a one-point victory. Same played out on Saturday in Columbia. Another crazy game. Tennessee's up, and they lose the lead, and they get a tough call late in the game and fall by a bucket.
Yeah, that Arkansas game was probably their most complete game in SEC play. And Arkansas just looked really disjointed. They didn't have Joe, one of their better players. He's been out for a while, and they've kind of really hit the skids ever since. And so Tennessee played really well there. But you need to stack up wins. This team cannot afford to go one up, one down. They're not going anywhere if that continues. And now they're going to get into the toughest stretch of their schedule upcoming. And South Carolina was another game where it's not the best team in the league, but they're within reach. They would have been a quad one win for them because South Carolina was, since it's a road game, it goes 1 through 75 in the net rankings for road games. So that would have counted as a quad one win. And those have been hard to come by for Tennessee after losing that game. Tennessee's now 2-7 in the quadrant one games, which is the most deemed the most difficult games. But, you know, it's kind of getting to the point where if you're just taking L's, it doesn't matter at this point. It's, you know, it's kind of getting away from them a little bit. But I thought that charge call was weak, to be honest with you. I thought the defender was not there, and he was still moving. He embellished it. And, you know, some people said, oh, he lowered the focus and lowered his shoulder. It wasn't an unnatural post move to me. Just the last couple of Tennessee games, that Arkansas game included, just tons and tons of foul calls. There's games earlier in the year where they'd let them play, and now it seems like everyone's tightening it up and calling things a little bit lighter. They're not calling the flops on in the post on those charge calls, and so there's everybody's doing it more. And free throws have been a big issue in all of Tennessee's games, wins and losses. And look, that's a big factor in that game. Tennessee missed 11 free throws. South Carolina missed a bunch too, but missed free throws and you turn the ball over, and then you have bad possessions at the end where Jordan Bowden, it kept the ball away from Vescovi, and so Rick Barnes wanted Bowden just to make a play on his own. Instead, he kind of forced it to Vescovi, and then Vescovi had to split defenders and turned it over, and that, you know, led to a break and South Carolina going back to the line. So, you know, just not good enough execution at the end on the road. And, you just don't have much of a margin of error with this year's group with the collection of guys that they've got.
What do they look? I mean, obviously they're more than just a bubble team. I mean, what's realistic about where this team ends up in your opinion?
I mean, the only thing, Darren, would be just an unbelievable win out, you know, maybe one loss, but and then still have some stuff to do in the SEC tournament. But that's the only way to get there, I think, at this point, because their net ranking is not great. It's like in the 60s. And, you know, there's teams that were in the 30s last year from Power 5 conferences like NC State and a couple of other ones that finished with net rankings in the 30s and didn't even make the NIT. So there's no guarantee that you get to a certain number in the net rankings and you're getting in the NCAA tournament. Just depends on the bubble spots available after all the conference tournaments. So, I mean, and this team has not shown any ability to me to put together a long run of wins. It would just have to be completely out of character and it all clicks and their opponents help them and things like that. But you got Auburn twice, you got Florida, you got a second game with Kentucky, all that after Vandy and Arkansas. So, I mean, just really the top of the conference still to come. And I think they still have work to do just to make the NIT, to be honest with you. And just it's going to be tough, but it doesn't look good right now at all for the postseason.
All right, before we come to the break and come back with a lot more for people who didn't hear last week when we talked about it and weren't sure exactly what we were talking about at the beginning with Vince, this was the game Tuesday night.
This is the halftime report.
This is the halftime report. Tuesday night in Knoxville, Tennessee and Arkansas, our own Vince Ferrara on the mic.
4 of 9 from beyond the three-point line at 44% and 14 of 18 from the free throw line at 78%.
Oh. Apologize on that as I got hit by a basketball during my halftime stats right in the face. So 18 first half rebounds
in the face
for the Volunteers.
In the face.
We gave you so many props, Vince, because that is 5.2
seconds.
We timed you. 5.2 seconds.
The eyes had to be watering, contact loss or not, right?
Yeah. Yeah, my eye was red pretty much until the next day, yeah.
That is a great recovery.
It's good. Vince, you're a pro.
Why'd you turn your mic off? Well, we would have liked to have heard you oh, man. Okay. Woo, sorry about that, but you turned your mic off.
I turned my mic off. No, my headsets fell off.
Oh, okay. Because
yeah.
It went like silent.
My headsets off.
It went totally silent.
That's what it was.
Okay.
It knocked my headsets off, so I had to put those back on. And then I was good to go, so they didn't turn my mic off. I'm actually surprised. You know, 5 seconds of dead air in radio, you know how it goes. And even on the networks, like, people panic, and I'm surprised they didn't just, like, go to a commercial break, you know, thinking there's some sort of technical issue. But they let me sort it out. And the host in the studio, John Wilkerson, who's my partner for Tennessee baseball, he always has these really, you know, silly and funny tosses to me, giving me different titles and things like that. So I'm sure he's having a field day for my next toss to halftime stats tomorrow night. So who knows what kind of craziness he'll come up with. But that was, you know, I still could see, my contact was there, so kept going, you know.
Yeah, I was
just to get the complete report. You know, they didn't have to go to the bullpen. The complete report, You got the CR as opposed to the, you know, 6 1/3.
We're glad you're okay, but I was a bit concerned when you said welcome back to Fayetteville. So that was the only part that scared me a little bit, that maybe you were still – maybe you should have been put in protocol. I'm not sure. All right, we will come back. More with Vince Ferrara on the other side. As you can tell, he is past protocol. He is good to go today with us. We'll talk more Vols with him on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Vince Ferrara is with us. My headset had a problem there. WNML in Knoxville, talking University of Tennessee. So Vince, looking up next, you got a matchup between Tennessee and Vanderbilt, a rematch. Tennessee ran away with the game early against Vanderbilt at Memorial Gym. Vanderbilt seems to be playing better, although they did not play well at all at Gainesville on Saturday night. Florida played great. I am very curious to see if Vanderbilt can play more competitively in this game against Tennessee.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that worked really well for Tennessee in that first meeting was Tennessee pressuring three-quarter court in sort of a 1-2-2 type of zone look, defensive look. And that's the most we've seen Tennessee do that in any game. So how much does Tennessee use that in the game, and how does Vanderbilt handle that differently this time around? I think that'll be a big part of the game, because Tennessee was able to create a lot of easy baskets, get a lot in transition, and when they can do that, it helps them a lot, because there's times where Tennessee really struggles. Things are really hard for them in the half court, because they don't have as many offensive options and enough guys that can create their own shot and just score in any situation. So I think that'll be a big part in the game. You're right, Vanderbilt is playing, was playing better until the Florida game than they were before. So we'll see. They're, you know, I would expect them to be motivated, and, you know, it's up and down on Tennessee. Typically they play well at home, though, even if they don't play – if they don't win, since they had that long winning streak coming into the season, typically they play better at home. But, again, it's a low margin of error for Tennessee, so I wouldn't be shocked one way or the other in what happened.
Give us a quick note on the Tennessee opening weekend on the baseball diamond. I know you follow them closely. We've talked somewhat here about Vanderbilt. They had an interesting weekend out in Arizona. They lose 2 of 3. They had all three games they were in the lead in the two games that they lost. The best closer in the country last year blows the saves, which is very unusual. Didn't get a lot of help defensively, but Tennessee dominated their series, I know.
They did, and actually I did watch some of Vanderbilt's opening series, and that first game on the MLB Network. I love that, Willie. I don't know if you caught much of it, but that speed cam that they had over the dugout, I thought was absolutely awesome from the MLB Network, and it gave you a feel with a camera like you were on the field, and it can really change the angles of how you see plays very different and pretty up close. I thought that was a cool wrinkle to the MLB Network's coverage. But Tennessee didn't have the strongest of competition in Western Illinois, but Tennessee pitched really well, and that is something that has been it's the strength of the team, and they didn't give up a run until midway through the third game. They won Friday 3-0. They won Saturday 19-0, and then they won yesterday 23-4. So quick
Western
math,
Illinois, they ran out of pitching, I guess, there.
Yeah, and guys were taking him. There are multiple guys who had to take it for the team and just, you know, give up 13 batters in an inning, 7 runs. It was just, it got out of hand. Tennessee did it with a lot of different guys. And that's one of the things about this year's team that's a little bit different, is they have more options this year, not only in the field with competition and throughout the outfield, and several infield positions, including first, where they could play 5 guys and still feel really good. And then they have a catching platoon, which they did a year ago. And then their pitching, even though they lost some quality arms like Andrew Schultz and Garrett Stallings, they're not as experienced overall. They've got Garrett Crochet, who didn't pitch this weekend with some soreness, and they're being very careful with him. They don't think it's anything long-term. They're just being very careful with him. He's going to be one of the top picks in the MLB draft, especially if he has a good year this year. He's throwing up around 100. I mean, with nasty breaking stuff, too. So he is, and is a left-hander, tall left-hander. So they've got a couple of JUCOs. They've got talented freshmen. Everybody they put out there that had some promise that the coaching staff felt like could really contribute, did well. Guys on the field, a couple of two-way players that were first-time guys that performed well. So overall, yes, it wasn't great competition, but you know, last year and this year, they took care of their business in pre-conference. They got to the NCAA tournament doing it last year, undefeated in pre-conference, and now doing it now this year. They've outscored in February games the last 2 years under Tony Vitello. They've outscored their opponents 104-9 in going 12-0 in February games. So, you know, some teams lose to lesser competition early in the year. Tennessee has been pretty good, and they have Charlotte on Tuesday before going to a really good tournament in Texas, where they'll be facing Texas Tech, Stanford, and Houston. So we'll get a better read on them next weekend.
Vince Ferrara is with us, the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville. I want to go back to basketball for a second because I was listening to you and Darren and Willie talk earlier about the Vols hoops, and I pulled up the stats. This is year 5, obviously, for Rick Barnes as the head coach, and if things stay how they are and they miss the tournament, that's only 2 tournament appearances in his 5 years. You're around this team all the time. So what is your evaluation of the Rick Barnes era? I know he had to – I know he had to rebuild. He had a lot of things that he had to deal with, but has it worked the way that everybody thought it would?
Yeah, because the 2 years were so high, Chase. I think you got to give him credit. Now, ultimately, people will judge on the success in the tournament, but when you can peak like they did in those 2 years, then I think that buys you time on the other end. You know, he gets paid a lot, and fans already are pointing to that and don't want to hear about rebuild or reasons or injuries and all that kind of stuff. Some fans just absolutely, you make this amount of money, I don't care, you need to deliver. And, you know, that's just not realistic. And I think next year is where you can judge this coaching staff, I think, a little bit more difficult, because they've got 3 high-level players that are coming in. They're a lot of the guys, if they do come back on this year's team, that are young, then you can get them more experience and better based on the track record that the coaching staff has of developing players. Now you have a roster to work with where you can compete, not only get in the tournament, but do some damage there and make up for not doing it the last 2 years when they've been up. So, you know, that's I think you get the this coaching staff gets a pass for this year because they've had so much go against them. And, you know, the next year is when they get some help and something to work with.
Vince, real quick before we let you go, I know obviously this is the first year for Kelly Harper at the helm for the Lady Vols, but they've dropped four straight in the SEC. What's going on with the ladies right now?
Well, you know, it was promising to start midway through SEC play. They had seven wins. They were 7-1. They had already, midway through conference play, had already reached their entire SEC win total from a season ago, where they were 7-9 in SEC play. So, and they were on track to do much better. But what happened is they hit the tough part of their schedule. They beat a lot of teams at the in the middle and the bottom of the conference. Then the tough part of their schedule hit, and they haven't been able to beat any of those teams. They had a shot against A&M at home yesterday, and just too many ill-advised plays down the stretch, jacking up threes when you've got critical players for Texas A&M with four fouls. Instead of going after them and trying to get those players fouled out, they're jacking up threes. This team has been turnover plagued all year. You know, it's still, I think she's improved them. Individual players have improved, but there's just still a lot of the bad habits and lack of poise in certain situations late in games, to where hard to flush some of those things out. The good news for them is after their next game with Arkansas, the rest of the schedule lightens up again to some of the bottom teams in the league. So they can maybe get a few more wins and then have that improvement over a year ago and then feel better about themselves going into the conference tournament. You know, they were a 10 seed in the projections by Charlie Cream going into yesterday's game, and then they lost. So I don't think this team can lose to bad teams down the stretch and then just assume because of their name that they're getting in the NCAA tournament, because their ranking, their RPI isn't that great either. So if they can just beat the weaker teams coming up on the schedule, they'll be fine. But I think it's mainly a product of the schedule more than anything else.
Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this. Have a great week.
All right, guys. Appreciate the props on the halftime stats, and glad you guys got a little bit of entertainment and laughs out of it, but I appreciate it.
We're glad you're okay. Nice way to be a pro. Good job.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right, you too. Many. Vince Ferrara at Vince Sports on Twitter. Sports Animal WNML in Knoxville. We talk to him every week at this time. We're going to have to move Jimmy Dykes to about 15 minutes from now. He's supposed to start the fourth and final hour. Practice has moved, so he's gonna join us at about 12:45. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. Vitello's done a good job with Tennessee baseball. They're trying to get the thing back. Delmonico had it going at a pretty good clip for a good while. Evidently, he was a tough cookie to handle day in and day out. He was a handful, but he had success, and they just really haven't been able to recapture that. Is that fair to say? I mean, they just haven't been the same program.
The numbers speak for themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it's just they've tried. I mean, they've the last hire, everybody was like, felt really good about it, and it just never materialized.
He was a key assistant on Delmonico's staff, so it really looked like he was the guy that could maybe build off of that, but it didn't go very well at all.
It did not.
But this guy looks like he's got a good plan. We'll see. It's tough in that SEC, man. You've got to bring something to the table, because every series, every program has got a lot of talent. It is where all the best players want to go. The fact of the matter, so many of the spring sports in the SEC are like that. It's unreal how deep. You know, you look at the top 25 in golf or tennis or baseball, track. It's littered with SEC teams. Littered. It's where it's at.
It just means more.
Whatever the case is. I mean, they put the resources in there, for sure.
I definitely think sometime this spring we need to have an unofficial Darren Donick and Chase night, and I'll go to the Hawk. Just all three of us go to the Hawk, cheer on the Doors.
Sure. The problem is the bulk of their season is, you know, during hockey.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so hard for us to find a night where we can actually do that.
There'll be some nights, so I think.
Yeah.
We could do that.
They play a lot of, what is it,
Tuesday
games?
Get the calendar out. We'll get the calendar out, yeah.
They do a lot of Tuesdays against local teams.
In fact, I don't know this for sure, but I think Jack Leiter, Al Leiter's son, will make his debut. I think he's going to be a weekday starter. Mm-hmm. I think one of these next games, we'll get a chance to take a look at him.
What do you think they have in him?
Oh, I think he's special.
Yeah?
Oh. He's first-round pick. He told everybody, I'm going to college. They still drafted him in the first round.
Mm. Wow.
Just on the hope.
I forgot who drafted him.
I think it was the Yankees, wasn't it?
Mm. Wow.
Got to remember. I got to go back and look at that. But
man, that's such a – how do you do that? How do you give up a first
– if you want
– now, you get compensated, right?
If yeah, go, you get a compensatory pick.
But what's the compensatory? I mean
– I think it's a pick between the first and the second round, I think. But Al Leiter did a great interview. He was at the preseason banquet, the infamous – banquet that Malcolm Turner was neither there nor at the 1993 SEC Championship basketball celebration. He did an interview one-on-one with Chris Lee. If you go to vandysports.com, you can see it. He talks a lot about the process there and what that was like that night. And Al Leiter was like, hey, I think you know, but just want to make sure. This is your decision. It's not my decision. Here's what you have in front of you. And he's like, I'm going to Vanderbilt. But I think I've never seen him pitch, honestly. I've just heard all these things about him. But I'm excited to watch him. They've got a ton of talent. It is very, very young. They lost two out of three. I'm really excited to watch the growth because I think you're going to see a big difference between now and mid-March, start of April, and then on into May when the postseason starts. There's going to be a lot of competition, and the pitching staff is going to be the strength.
Yeah, they're not going to have the offense that they had last
year. Offense is going to take a lot of time. We're going to see who among those great freshmen, and they look good. I saw some of their at bats. They look good up at the plate with, you know, the swings and everything. But when you face polished college pitchers, especially when you get into the SEC. You just haven't faced guys like that in high school. I don't care where you're from or what travel team you played for. You know, some older guys who have, you know, really got it together, those guys are tough to hit as a true freshman. Some of them can do it, but they had such experience last year, guys who had been through it for a couple of years. It all really came together. That was an amazing offense last year. That's why they went. I mean, there's not much that separates national title from just a really good team. Mm-hmm. But that was a big difference. And then defensively, you saw it. If you watch the games, that was another area that they struggled. They're going to struggle for a while defensively until they find the right place for some of these guys, particularly the freshmen. They made some errors on plays last year where you would have said, last year they make that play, by the end of the year especially.
Mike Trout on the Astros, they cheated. I don't agree with the punishment.
I love it.
I lost respect for some of those guys.
Justin Turner blasted Rob Manfred as well.
You're going to see the Dodgers for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says commissioner on it. That's what Turner said. Yikes.
Well, they haven't been afraid to come out. That is the difference.
They have every right to.
The people that they've been doing it on the up and up, those players are like, I'm not going to remain silent.
Well, and that's why I said what I said earlier of I think the punishment, if you take all those guys that you have definitive proof that they were a part of it, every last one of them, and you suspend them for the first, I don't know, 50, 100, whatever makes everybody feel better, but you suspend them now, taking a title away from 3 years ago doesn't matter. But if you hit them now and suspend them, then I think that gets the point across. Because that's money out of their pocket. Suspending without pay. I'll say 100 games. 100 games. More than half the season. I think that gets the point across.
But how do you know who to suspend?
Yeah. Well, and that's the hard part.
Well, yeah.
that's why they haven't done it.
Yeah, I mean that's the crux of it all.
Like
you
get each guy
out.
In a room. Did you use the trash can? No, I did not. Okay, you're not suspended.
I mean, I'm satisfied.
Yeah,
I'm satisfied.
That's what the NCAA would do.
I'm only going to ask you this once. Back to school. They could get Dean Martin.
They could get Dean Martin
ask,
to really
grill
them.
Mr. Thornton, Mr. Mellon, I'm only going to ask this one time. Is all this work your own? If you have not seen the movie, of course,
Dean,
we're dating ourselves.
Dean, I can't lie. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
I'm satisfied.
Rodney Dangerfield in the 80s, Back to School is the movie. He's an older man going back to college. He egregiously
cheats.
Where
his son is attending.
Is attending because he wants to bond with his son. So he enrolls in the school. He gives a lot of money to the school. And he egregiously cheats. He figures out right away he doesn't want to go to class and do all the stuff. So he has everybody do the work for him. And then they pin him down late and ask him if the work is his own. And that's not
but
a
in the end,
spoiler
he does,
alert.
He does do the work on his own. In the
yes,
end.
He does. Yes, yeah. He does. It's a good movie.
We'll come back. Jimmy Dykes to close out the third hour. I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you
talk
for
to
years.
The men.
I am. But my
men.
Friends over at Cool Springs MD, and they know a lot of you have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician over there, his wife, Daphne Lodge, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to give you men the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And as we all get older, I hope you want that. You should strive for that. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Give them a call by dialing this number, making that appointment. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Monday afternoon. We always enjoy our conversations with Jimmy Dykes, ESPN, SEC Network, college basketball guy. In fact, last week, Jimmy, we came in here and we all looked at each other and said, did you see Jimmy Dykes doing the Lakers game last night? We all stumbled across that game. What was it, Lakers and the Nuggets? And you were on the call.
Great
How was
game.
That?
Great game.
Yeah, it was a great game. And Jeff Van Gundy, who does a ton of games in the NBA, I think he's the best analyst we have in that area, said to him, man, we got really lucky because this is the best game of the regular season so far. There's two teams, the Lakers and the Nuggets, that fighting for home court advantage in playoffs. A lot of things at stake in that ball game. So it was a high, high level game. And you know, I went straight from Nashville, I think that was their last Tuesday, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and then Wednesday, the Lakers and the Nuggets. And just to see the size on the floor, how good those guys are, how skilled they are. It's great to, you know, get your eyes on an NBA game every now and then just to have the right perspective on college players and who can play in that league and who can't.
Yep.
And so it was a real blessing in my life to get to do that game, absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, you got your eyes on Kentucky, as you mentioned here, last Tuesday night in Nashville, and Kentucky is just one of those teams we know year in and year out under John Calipari with such a young squad, even though they've got a junior that helps them a lot, which is weird to say, but they get better and better, right? Every game, every month, as the season goes along, where they're trying to hit on all cylinders about this time of year. What did you see out of Kentucky team that was trailing Vanderbilt by 9 at the half and took over in the second half?
Yeah, when they put the gas down and they're playing well defensively, they're the best team in that league right now. And it's an older Kentucky team with 3 sophomores and a junior, a grad transfer, and Sestina, old in comparison to what Kentucky normally is. But those 3 guards are the difference makers in that team, probably in that league when it's all said and done. Hagen's defensively can just really get after you. You know Saban Lee and Maxwell Evans were a focus of Kentucky defense, and they pretty much took those guys out of the game. So Kentucky always gets better during the season because they're so young. It takes John Calipari a while to figure out how his team should play. I think they have that figured out now. I think they're the favorite to win the league. I know they got a tough game tomorrow night at LSU, but if you just said, Jimmy, who's going to win this thing with a 15-3 record or 14-4. I think it's Kentucky right now.
Jimmy, I watched both broadcasts, the one in Nashville, and then the next night I happened to catch the Lakers game against the Nuggets. I really enjoyed your perspective on just watching the game in front of you and thinking to yourself about the number of players that come into college basketball as freshmen and think that the next year, oh, yeah, I'll be ready to play in the NBA. I thought that was interesting perspective.
Well, there's a lot of them that, like I said, live in a fantasy world, and they get, you know, steered off the what should be their normal path into a path that's not for them way too quickly, whether it's because of their AAU coach or their parents' fascination with the league or whatever it is. And those kids like Nick Richards is a great example. Had he come out after his freshman or sophomore year, he wouldn't even be on an NBA team right now. But now, after his third year, he'd have a great chance to be a high draft pick, if not a lottery pick. Everybody's on a different path in terms of how long it takes you to get ready. But that game just reminded me that, man, that's a grown man's big boy league. And you think you're ready, and people in your ear think you're ready, but you better go watch a game and say, wait a minute, can I really perform on this level with this type of bodies on the floor every night and produce? And if you have a reality check, there's not very many of those kids that come into college ball, and after 1 year, they're ready to make that jump. So a lot of kids make mistakes, and I can see why after doing that Lakers-Nuggets game last week.
There's not a lot of headliner guys like Zion Williamson this year in college basketball. I'm looking at the Wooden watch. I vote on the Wooden Award. In your mind, Jimmy, is there a clear-cut one or two guys that you think have risen to the top that might be the best player? Who's the best player in college basketball in your mind?
The best player right now is Obi Toppin from Dayton. I think he's the safest bet in the draft. I think he's going to be a long-time role player that has a really good role on a really good team. And those other guys right now, I'm not all in on Anthony Edwards from Georgia. There's too many inconsistencies in his game. The foreign guys I'm not real familiar with. LaMelo Ball has, you know, he can't shoot. There's just there is no Zion, there is no Ja Morant in this year's draft. There's just not. There are guys that could be good players. I don't think there's an NBA All-Star in this year's draft waiting to happen. I'll see a kid tonight at Notre Dame. North Carolina's at Notre Dame. That's my game tonight. Cole Anthony, who could rise up to anywhere in that second, third, fourth, fifth pick. He's got a lot of stuff about his game that I really like. And that's just to watch him tonight coming off of missing whatever it was, four, five, 6 weeks with a knee injury. But it's going to be a draft where scouts better do their work, better make good decisions, because you could miss this year, and you don't want to miss on a draft, especially on a top 12 or 15 pick. So I would go with Obi Toppin just because I think he's a long-term pro that's going to produce, and there's very low risk in drafting Obi Toppin this year.
Jimmy Dykes is with us from ESPN, and obviously, Jimmy, around here, we pay attention to not only Vanderbilt but the Tennessee Vols, and you look at what they did last year and Rick Barnes and his pedigree. Just it's been a down year, and I know they have the talent, and I think everybody's pointing towards next season as really being when they break out. But what's been your evaluation thus far of the Vols?
Yeah, they lost so much from an outstanding team last year, but no one's outcoached Rick Barnes. There's a lot of ball left for Tennessee, and they could still play their way in. Absolutely they can. Those teams fighting for those last, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 spots, it's a dogfight right now. And Tennessee is more than capable of rattling off 4 or 5 wins in a row. There's some good net wins to be had still on their schedule, I believe. They got to take advantage of them. But, you know, Rick Barnes, there's no better coach in the college game than Rick Barnes right now. I don't care what name you throw up there, he's as good as any of them. And they, you know, the loss of Lamonte Turner was a big knock to them, and Tennessee's had to kind of remake their team 3 or 4 times this year because of injuries and additions and things like that. But they will not be an easy out at all in that SEC tournament. And if they were to win, you know, 5 or 6 games here in the end of the regular season and get to that final game in the SEC tournament, they could find their way right back in the NCAA in a year that no one expected that would happen. So I'm a big Fulkerson fan because of how hard he plays. Those guys just find a way, it seems like, in meaningful ball games in March to get it done.
We started this conversation off talking about Kentucky, but John Calipari had a lot of kind words for Jerry Stackhouse in his first year with Vanderbilt. You saw it firsthand. They beat LSU. What have you seen out of Stackhouse as he tries to rebuild that program?
Yeah, you know, Vanderbilt's an interesting team. They've lost their leading scorer 3 years in a row. And that's just hard to overcome, especially when Stack's trying to get his team going in his first year. Everything I've seen from him, I think he's very well prepared, very confident as a coach. You know, the trick is going to be for every coach, not just Stackhouse, but for every coach in that league, can you recruit? Because you've got to have some dudes at the end of the day. And you've got to bring them in there. I don't have any doubt at all about his coaching, his X's and O's, all those things. He's been at the highest level. He knows exactly what he's doing. But having never recruited before in a league like the SEC, that's the one thing to keep an eye on is will he get it done there. So, but all those other things, he checks all the other boxes for sure.
You said you liked Kentucky to win the league, but Auburn continues to hang around. What about Auburn?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They continue to hang around. They got a lot of experience back off that Final Four run last year. And they lost at Missouri without Okoro, who could be the freshman of the year in the league. He's a very versatile player for them. But, Bruce Pearl, he's a magician at pushing the right buttons and as a motivator. They didn't play well this past weekend, but it's a three-team race, Kentucky, LSU, and Auburn. And don't discount Auburn. Austin Wiley on the inside is a difference maker. Not a lot of teams in college ball have a big post player like he does. So don't discount the Auburn Tigers yet. So I have to walk into North Carolina's practice before I do. I just want to encourage everyone listening right now to go to CoachJimmyDykes.com. I have a book that's going to be in stores here in the next week or two. You can already order it on Amazon. The film doesn't lie. I think it's going to speak very clearly to the hearts of people, challenge them in their life to grow with a more authentic walk with God in their life. I have a lot of great ESPN stories in there, but a lot of biblical stories as well. So I just want to make sure that people at least hear about the book, have an opportunity to order it. I'm giving away a free trip to the Final Four on that website. You don't even have to purchase the book, but if you do, then your chances of winning goes up because you get 50, your name's in there 50 times as opposed to just once. But CoachJimmyDykes.com, check out my book, The Film Doesn't Lie, and I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Awesome. We will definitely go check that out and pass that along. Have fun in South Bend tonight. We'll be watching Notre Dame in North Carolina. Thanks, Jimmy.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
All right, that is Jimmy Dykes. And, of course, the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament will be here, and I suspect that'll be probably a part of Pick 6. Would you take, I don't know, what would be the – well, I don't know if you could do Kentucky, Auburn, and LSU or the field. Does anybody take the field?
Are we
going to
put that in this week,
no.
In this week's edition?
Yeah, we could do that, yeah, for this week, yeah.
Sorry, Willie. I don't know if you'll ever live that
one
down.
When's the combine? Is that this weekend?
No, it's at the end of the month.
Oh. Yeah, look, Jimmy.
When the combine happens, I promise you, I have a great question.
Well, we'll be looking forward to it. Just like we're looking forward to Jimmy Dykes' book.
Anybody take the field of that combo? Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, or the field here?
That's too much. That's too much.
Yeah. Who would you leave out?
See,
there
if you put LSU in the field, I'd feel a little bit better about it. But
would you or Auburn? Which one would you feel better about?
That's a good question. Like, if you
only had Kentucky and the other one,
I think I would.
I'd probably.
I might be thinking field if only two of them, Kentucky, and then pick one of the other two.
What if it was Kentucky or the field?
Oh, the field.
Then I would take the field.
No brainer.
Yeah. Kentucky's unless they get way better, and they might. Get way better between now and the end of the year.
They're usually pretty good in the SEC tournament. I don't know if
they
you guys
are,
have
but they're
noticed.
But every Kentucky team.
But
is
Jimmy
different.
Said Auburn's hanging around, and that's
Auburn can beat Kentucky.
I think they can too.
Can they do it on their home floor though?
Their home floor away from
Kentucky's
home, you mean?
Home floor. Yeah,
I'm talking about in Nashville in the SEC tournament.
Yes, Kentucky's home floor. Yes.
Yes,
because there'll be 19,000 Kentucky fans.
We know the deal. It's the same thing every year when they're here. But they can beat Kentucky, yes.
Okay.
What happened last year? Tennessee won.
Yeah. Tennessee's a little bit different animal.
I know.
When they're good.
I know.
Like, they can actually
And they're going to
no
have more fans.
Fan base that can, but you know, Tennessee, they still couldn't. But that has the best chance in Nashville, especially that team, the excitement around that team. But nobody else, like Auburn, LSU, like their fan, I mean,
no,
they'll just be a smattering compared to what Kentucky will have in there for the championship.
That will
game.
Always be the case wherever you have the SEC tournament.
Well, no, Tennessee did a good job. I mean, it's not like it was 50-50, but I mean, they did the best anybody else can do.
Exactly.
True?
Yeah. It just like if you had it in, you know, in Tampa, Florida, then if Florida made the final, you'd probably have some Florida fans, but it would still be Kentucky taking over. You could have it on Mars. Mm-hmm. Against the Martians, and Kentucky would still have more fans than Martians.
Is the three-point line further back on Mars, or is it the same?
I think they're still back. They haven't changed the times yet up there in Mars. Okay. I think it's still 19 feet 9 inches.
Okay. Just curious.
High school line.
We appreciate Jimmy Dykes for joining us. We will come back fourth and final hour. We'll start back talking a little bit about the Predators. We're going to get you involved. We may need a help on naming a line, and maybe we'll reward you. I don't know. I'm just saying. Might want to be listening. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.